A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS-certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Well, I guess I got to give you this trophy back.
There you go. New month, new host.
Plush host with the plush most.
That's right. Well, I'm really glad to have you here on my show today. It's mostly because I want to hear more. It's like any good late night host. You know, it's like the real star of the show, other than the host, is the guest. And on this particular occasion, I got to know, you this past weekend ran, participated, swam, and biked in your first ever triathlon.
I did. The Smith Mountain Lake Triathlon was this past weekend, and it is the one I've been training for several months now, and it was finally here, and it was a really fun experience overall, I would say.
It looked like so much fun.
Yeah.
I was down there, you know, kind of cheering on with Beth and the kiddos and stuff. And Beth and I were talking a little bit about it because, like, we got down there and we're like, man, this is like a much bigger event. This is like a bigger deal than we pictured. And I was like, it's crazy because when we were kids, our parents, I believe, did this exact same triathlon.
They absolutely did. Yep.
And I remembered from childhood thinking that it was a big deal then. And it's strange because I almost feel like because competitive events like this have gotten so much bigger in our lifetime, like more and more and more people have like participated in triathlons, half marathons, marathons, stuff like that than ever before. I can't tell if there's like a saturation, but the desaturation of the individual events, like where they're less momentous because there are so many of them. But then I got down there, I was like, no, this is big. This is, you know, they've got like loud music. They've got like a radio station here. There's like food vendors. There's all sorts of stuff going on. Like it's just packed. It was a cool, lively event.
It was a cool event. I feel like I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we were kids, one of the main sponsors was Outback Steakhouse.
I think you're correct.
And they had like steaks for the finishers.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That does sound correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Which in that regard, there were no stakes.
There were no stakes. I'll say that, unfortunately. Ugh. But I do remember that thing. I feel like that was burned in my memory. Just like, yeah, there's a bunch of stakes when you finish the triathlon.
Right, I can smell it now.
I can smell it. Yeah, exactly. It was the exact same pavilion and everything. But overall, I think, yeah, it was really cool. Like, just getting, I remember I was getting all the gear together the night before, and it felt like it really like came together. It felt like a real group project kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, like I was borrowing our friend Mike's bike, but then like the helmet he gave me didn't fit. So I was just using my mountain bike helmet. And then I had bought like my, you know, $35 wetsuit from Play It Again Sports. And then I had gotten some different bike shoes to go with Mike's bike from a different secondhand sports shop. Right. But I think I pretty much bought them new. So that was like all sort of a cobbled together situation. And I only rode the bike like once before the day of.
I'm so impressed. It was kind of like one of those things where I think we talked about it a little bit last week, because you definitely went through and took like the thing that we've done the least amount of in recent years, which is swimming.
Yeah.
And you definitely like shored up that point. Like you took like almost like what the weakest leg would be. And I would arguably say like made it up there with the stronger.
I would say, yeah, ultimately as it shook out, the swimming, I think, ended up being my best leg.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. Because, yeah, that is hands down what I did the most amount of, like, training for. Because I was so nervous going in that, like, I'm not going to be ready for the swim. Like, that is going to be the hard part. And I was like, of course I can do the run and the bike or whatever. And I didn't do a ton of biking either, to be clear. Like I did maybe like 4 or 5 Peloton rides and like one ride on the bike, on like physically on the bike outside. And like, otherwise I was just sort of relying on my existing fitness.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And that turned out okay. But, I remember, so we were driving down, like the night before I did not get a good night of sleep. I definitely had some like pre-race nerves, but then as we were driving to the event and like, even as I was like standing on the beach, like standing in line about to head into the water, I just sort of had this like general calm about me. And I was like, I still felt nervous, but like my nerves were not like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous about the race. I was like nervous that I wasn't nervous about the race, if that makes sense.
I absolutely get that. Yes. Because, like while we've been out doing like through the Griffin tour,
yeah.
I think that I've had a couple of occasions where like when we went out to do the, I think I just talked about this recently somewhere, but the first ever show was in Boston. And if you see pictures of me beforehand, I'm like gaunt. My eyes are sunken in. It almost looks like I'm like I just had like a good cry.
Yeah.
You know, like I looked like sad, worried, you know, whatever. And then if you look at pictures from like immediately afterwards, I like look lifelike and excited and you know, like good.
Yeah.
Like happy. And it's like, it was amazing to see the difference. And then as more and more shows have taken place and I've gotten more comfortable with the arrangement, there's a couple of times like where I'm like walking on stage and I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I haven't even been nervous yet. I'm supposed
right.
to be like, now
I forgot to be nervous.
I forgot to be nervous. Now yeah. I'm freaking out.
Now I'm like, not prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nerves are part of this.
Well, that is I'm glad you brought that up, because that I think is exactly the reason that I was like not having the nerves, is because we've done so many like shows on tour.
Oh, okay,
that,
good.
Like,
yeah.
It was like a weirdly transferable skill, because like despite like in a way that like even when we were in high school and we were running, you know, meets every single weekend and stuff for like cross country,
yep.
Like it never got to the point where I was like walking up to the line and I was like, yeah, I'm super confident. Like I'm just going to do this, you know, like it always felt like I'm on the line. We're about to do the race. There's a pretty good chance I don't even finish, you know, I don't yes. even know I can run this far. And it was like, that's ridiculous, obviously.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was very hard, I think, during the cross country days to know what your level of fitness was, because you were surrounded by people who were also that fit.
Yeah.
And so it was very hard to recognize your like strength and ability as those things, because everyone just had them.
Right.
And so it was like, you know, like I always felt like I would go like out to gym class or whatever to like run the mile, and I would throw down like a personal best time in gym class.
Right.
Because it was like, well, compared to everybody who doesn't run cross country, I'm incredibly
exactly. You know, strong.
Yeah. Yeah. And like it changed my whole like mental state. So yeah, it was weird how that always like ended up shaking itself out.
Yeah. But so, so getting to the meet and getting, or to the race and getting set up was, all pretty good. Like I was really like the whole time I was anticipating being super nervous about it, but like, you know, you went and you picked up your number and your little packet and stuff, and then you found a spot to go store your bike. And that was like the transition area. So I guess in some triathlons, you might have like, different transition locations where like if you exit the swim and transfer onto the bike here, but then the bike ends way over here, so that's where you transfer into the run. This was very much like get out of the swim, get to the bike spot, and then from bike it was out and back, and so you would park your bike exactly where you left it or where you got it from, and then change into your run stuff.
Okay.
And go. The transition stuff, that is definitely a thing where like if you were competing, it's like such a big deal to like, you know, very like how fast can I do the transition, you know, get up there, rip the wetsuit off, jump on the bike and go, you know, get your shoes on, get your helmet on. Like I think people can do it really, really fast, like 30 seconds or something. I was not such a person because, well, for one, I wasn't like super duper racing either, yes, you know, like yeah. It didn't make a huge difference to me. I don't know, you know, I didn't even have like a time to beat, you know.
Right.
I mean, I was still trying to go like fast or whatever, but like even just setting it up, it was like there's certain like little not like rules, but like guidelines that sort of everyone's just like aware of.
Okay.
Like you have your spot, and then like right next to your spot, you put your towel down, and then on your towel, you put all your gear, and like that's your designated space. And everyone sort of has like that little setup going on.
Okay.
Over there. So,
well, like it was very interesting because like when Addie and I arrived, we got down there and the parking was like a zoo, you know?
Yeah.
And so like we couldn't go and park near where you were going to start the swim. So we were like a mile away. day. So then I've got like Addy, like, you know, on my hip, and I'm like running down the road, in my sandals with like Addy, like, you know, attached to me.
Oh gosh.
And so like I'm trying to get over there like as quickly as possible. So like literally I woke up the day after your triathlon. I was like, man, I'm sore from spectating.
From cheering,
But the cool thing was is that like they started the swim in all these like different waves or whatever. So as me and Addy were arriving, we're running up on the transition zone. So we're watching the guy who I believe won the race was wearing like a Team USA jersey. So like, I mean, I assume that means some kind of official affiliation with a version of Team USA.
I mean, but possibly, because like even when I was signing up for the race, it was like you had to go through all these extra forms because I guess it's like a whatever, some kind of sanctioned event little bit, you know. It was like I had to like purchase like a day pass to be like, you know, like officially competing in the, you know, the larger corporation's race or something.
Got it. Okay, so that makes sense then. Yeah. So, but like when this guy came pedaling out, like he had clearly clipped his shoes onto his bike and got on the bike barefoot. And with I could watch him shove his feet into his shoes that were already clipped into the bike pedals.
Wow. So he was not wasting any time.
No time. So he was already like going down the road. I mean, far enough to the point where like, I mean, I don't, you're probably maybe like 200 yards out and his feet weren't even like in the shoes yet.
Wow.
So I was like, goodness. Okay. So that's like a kind of,
and he's just going like no socks then.
No socks.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you don't necessarily need them. I mean, having like putting your socks on is like a whole extra thing, especially when your feet are wet.
You know? Yes. And I suspect that if you're like at that caliber of competition, you're probably like willing to get the blisters. Even or maybe you've just got such calluses you don't get the blisters, or other techniques there. But yeah, like somehow some way it's just sort of like, yeah, we're sacrificing some creature comforts for pure speed.
That is absolutely, yeah, for sure. That's crazy. I was not doing that at all.
Sure, you know? I mean, literally, I don't even think I could.
I know. Like, part of me was almost like, just, you know, get to the transition, go quick, but like, you know, like part of me is like, at least I can catch my breath while I'm doing this, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Because I'll just start with the swim. So the way they did it was they had like all the professional people, like the elite athletes, and they all were like in a big group. There was maybe like 20, 25 of them or so. And they just said like, go. And they all just sprint to the water all at the same time. And it's just sort of a mad dash, like find your place, get moving.
Right.
And then after that, they're like, all right, everybody else, we're going to give those guys a 30-second head start. You'll never catch them. And then everyone else just kind of roughly get into, you know, generally two lines, but whatever, just sort of be a mob and approach as needed, you know?
Okay.
And they would get up and they'd have like, they had basically two lines and they'd start you two at a time.
Okay.
And they, you know, you'd be on the beach and the people in front of you would run. And as soon as they hit the water, they'd be like, okay, you go. And then next, and then you go. So you were all sort of like spaced out a little bit.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Cause if I remember correctly, from like when mom and dad did this, they would go out like in big heats.
Yeah.
And like dad, I think especially like, you know, I mean, like you're out there getting like kicked by people and like, you know, everybody's sort of on top of each other.
Yeah.
It seems like it become the swim in particular seems like it could become rather unsafe rather quickly. Like we were talking about, we were talking this morning about how like it makes sense that they do the swim first, because like even like with the run, which is the last event in a triathlon, if you get to that leg and you're reaching breaking point or you need to pause and like catch your breath or whatever, like, you know, walk, like you can stop running and still be physically upright.
Right.
However, if you're in the lake and you need a pause, you can't, I mean, you could tread water.
And
theoretically catch your breath.
But treading, I mean, go in the, next time you're at the pool, just see how long you can tread water.
Right.
Like, you know, if you get to 10 minutes, good for you, but I bet you're breathing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, so if you're super zonked in the water, it's like, okay, yeah, we need to get these people while they're nice and fresh.
Yeah.
Through that stage.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was a much nicer way to do it. Yeah. I can only imagine how terrible it would be if you'd been training and training and training for this, and 10 seconds in you've got a bloody nose because someone kicked you in the face.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. Like,
no, that'd be terrible. But I got in the water, and then so I was wearing my wetsuit, and then they give you a swim cap, which I guess you could bring your own, but that was one of those things where I was like, I'm pretty sure they give you a swim cap, I probably don't need to get one, and thankfully they did. not that I think it would have made, like, not that I couldn't have done it without one, but.
You shaving seconds off?
That's yeah. right. Yeah. No, but man, I felt like it really made a difference.
Did it really?
It did. Yeah. I mean, like, you were just like, I don't know why the swim cap more than the wetsuit, or maybe it was just both, but like, it really felt like especially like the buoyancy of the wetsuit, like you were just sort of like, you're floating a little bit more on the water and could really just like move a lot better. But like, I say that, but like when I went down earlier in the week to like, you know, just practice being in the lake with the wetsuit on, like it didn't feel that way. But so what was different was like was the swim cap, and man, I liked it. It was nice having the swim cap on, okay. for sure.
So do you think if you did it again, you would train with one?
Maybe. Yeah. I think okay. so. Like I really enjoyed that part of it, but it felt really good. Cause they had like all these little orange buoys and then had like a big triangle buoy. And it was like, turn at the triangle. So you did the big horseshoe pattern basically and got back to the beach. And it was really, I mean, it was very encouraging. Cause you know, you'd be swimming and you'd turn by and you'd be like, oh, I'm passing another orange buoy. Cool. Like yeah. I'm really making progress.
Right. This is going. You
know, it was very good having like the little markers in the water, because otherwise if you're just swimming to a thing in the distance, like it can feel like it is taking a while to get there,
uh-huh,
you know? Yeah. So that was very encouraging. And then even right as you started, like I was passing people in the water, which was nice. You know, like, oh, maybe I'm better at this than I thought, you know?
Am I good?
And yeah. Who knows? You know, that was nice.
Pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Pleasant surprise. I will say something I noticed too, though, was when you're swimming in a pool, every 25 meters, you hit the wall again and you turn around and you can kick off the wall.
Right.
Giving yourself a nice little boost of speed for sure.
I mean, any swim coach ever would be like, take advantage of the wall.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes.
Cause you were getting a big push. What is your streamline coming off of it?
Like, yeah. You want to be big and streamlined, and that gives you like a nice push. It gives your arms like, I don't know, like maybe 4 seconds, 3 seconds of rest while they're not pulling you through the water or whatever.
Right.
But in the lake, you don't have that. You don't have the wall for a nice little boost of speed every 25 meters. Right. You're just going. And that starts to add up, I think. Even just the rest of not pulling yourself for like 3 seconds every 25 meters adds up. So there were times when I would, you know, I'd look up to see where I was, and then it would be like a few like strokes of breaststroke, just sort of like, okay, let my arms recover for a second and then start freestyling again.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally
so makes sense. That yeah. was good. And it seemed like a lot of people sort of had a little bit of that approach here and there.
Yeah. I mean, just as like an onlooker showing up though, it was really cool. Cause I got there to like see you coming out of the water. And I mean, geez, if you've ever looked more like an athlete,
me,
I mean, yes. Oh, I was just like,
thank you.
I was like, holy crap. I was like, he looks cool. Like pull the goggles and like the swim cap.
Yeah.
Off.
The swim cap off.
The perfectly like wet, disheveled hair. Mm-hmm, like, I was like,
no big deal.
And I mean, if you've never seen like triathletes in action, you actually can kind of still faintly see them on your arms, but it's got like the like sharpied on like your numbers and stuff.
Yeah,
which kind of look like these like cool tattoos.
I know. Yeah,
out.
I was like, I caught it in the mirror earlier, and I was like, oh, it's like a cool spot for a tattoo.
Yeah. I was so impressed with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I didn't feel like a super crazy athlete coming out of the water. Like, I don't know what it is, but coming out of the lake, maybe it was the wetsuit or whatever, but there was like a little bit of that like woobly wombliness. Maybe you just haven't been walking for such a long distance or something.
Yeah. I mean, and probably usually like even you figure so many swims that you go like kind of like hard on, like even like Olympians, you know, like they finish their swim and then they stay in the water, you know, like look up at the clock, high five each other, you know, and then they like pull themselves out and probably like sit on the edge of the pool for a second, like whatever.
Yeah.
Like how often are you going from like a hardcore swim just to running?
Right to running. Yeah. So you get out of the water and then the transition area is like a tenth of a mile, like little jog.
It was a jog uphill.
And like uphill because you're coming out of the water. So you got to get like up to past the amphitheater and then like over to the transition area. And they were supposed to have, they had little kiddie pools that they were supposed to be full of water to like step in to rinse the sand off your feet.
Okay.
But they didn't fill them with water. Like someone forgot to do that. That was a bummer. Fortunately, you don't even think about it, but like by the time you get there, like a lot of the sand has just come off. Like it's dried off that fast.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was good. I had my towel so I could like brush off anything less, but man, it would have been such a bummer to get up there and be like, oh my God, I'm putting sandy socks on.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like blisters in the making.
That would have been terrible. So I got on the bike, started out on there, and it was like as soon as I got going, there was a nice little flat section at the beginning. It was like, okay, just catch your breath here. You can do this. Like, let's go. And then I could just sort of dial in, and that was okay. Like, I was never like sprinting like super duper hard or anything on the bike, but it was all out and back, which was nice because then obviously on the way out, you can start like developing markers in your head for like, okay, this is where I'll be on the way back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's a good point. Yeah.
So, there were parts of it too, like you would go out and then you took like a right turn and you did like one little out and back and then got back to the main road and then did like another out and back and came. But so for that part, a lot of it was downhill. And I just kept thinking like, oh no, like it needs to stop being downhill because I'm about to have to turn around and come up all this. I'm like, that is going to be so challenging. But for whatever reason, like the downhill section was obviously not bad because that's downhill.
Right.
You can sort of coast or whatever. But when we turned around, I kept waiting for like, man, when is the hill going to start to feel like the hill? And it just, it was never that bad. So that was very nice. What?
Sorry. Oh, your wife is.
Oh, my wife is calling. Well, I'm not going to be answering. Okay. Sorry. Yep, waiting. Boom. All right. Yeah, but so coming up the hill, like it felt steeper going down than it did coming up, which was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, that's so nice.
Yes. There were times on the bike where I felt like I couldn't tell if like I was just off or if I'm just not used to road biking, where it would feel like you were going down, like it would look like you were going downhill, but then you'd be pedaling and it would be like more resistance than you'd expect for going downhill. And I'm like, am I actually going uphill? Is there some like weird perspective I'm not noticing something?
That is super weird. Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm sure that this was not the case, but I do remember like one of the, like long before we were like biking proper, I remember bringing dad's road bikes to Vermont on a trip.
Yeah.
And our good buddy, Big Steve, was up there with me. And we're like, well, let's go for a bike ride together. So we went out to ride like 10 miles, which for all intents and purposes, that's less distance than you would have traveled
in the triathlon.
Yeah. So with two other events, we weren't even going that far. And I remember getting out there and me and Steven would run together a lot and he was just pedaling away from me. And I was like, goodness gracious. Like, I mean, like, why am I just like a really like poor cyclist? Like, is this like not my thing? And we got back and we like picked up the rear tire and like went to spin it. And it just like didn't, like the brake was just like pressing against the rim. And you're just like, I literally felt like I was like walking through quicksand.
Right.
You know, like the whole time I was like, oh my God, this is so hard.
Right.
And
oh, man.
Like, okay. Well, at least there's that. So as you were saying that though, I was like, oh, I've been there, but I'm like, it's probably not the same problem.
Yeah. No, maybe not. Although when me and dad were changing the tire, we were like spinning the back wheel and sometimes maybe it was like, we had to adjust it a few times cause it was hitting the brake thing.
Oh, okay. So, well, maybe it was the same problem.
I really hope that wasn't the case. Yeah, right, I didn't do 12 miles like that, but I made it either way.
Yeah.
And the bike, it was so hard to tell like how you were doing because now you're, and it was like, it was so hard to know because, you know, as you entered the water, you know, who's to say how your fitness was compared to anyone else around you in the water? You know, someone who was way less fit than you could have just like gotten in, you know, 20 people before you. And because of the way they were doing it, like, you know, you might not have caught them during the swim.
Sure.
But, or vice versa. Maybe someone really fit was just starting behind you in the swim. Cause like the time chip just goes from, you know, when you cross the line to when you come across, but you're staggered so much on the start that you have no idea who you're racing when.
Yeah. So this, I remember that this used to be like a kind of like a complicated thing in events exactly like this. Because like, you might be like, especially like when we were younger, the idea of like age group placings was always kind of like a big one. So like if you're 16 and you're trying to catch up with the person in front of you who looks like they could be 16, it's like you're trying to, like, this happened in like a half marathon when you go out like in waves or whatever, but when you cross the starting line, your chip activates, which sometimes means that you're operating with like a 50 second handicap.
Right.
So like maybe you finish that person finishes like 10 yards in front of you, or you finish 10 yards in front of them, but then the final results come up and it's opposite.
Right.
It's like, because like once the times have accounted for that difference, it's like, okay, now we've reached like an equilibrium. And yeah, so you're exactly right though. It definitely makes a lot. It's hard to know where you stand compared to other people based on when they started.
Exactly. So I felt like on the bike, like I was passing people a lot, but then other people would be coming up from behind me and passing as well. So it was like there was a lot of shifting around on the bike side of things.
Right.
Where clearly it was like a lot of people's strong suit. And you know, it's funny seeing what people have, because some people are clearly like, yeah, I've got a bike, I'm gonna come do it, you know?
Right.
And they're out there and you're like, man, you need a better bike. That's you're too big for that bike. Yes. You know? Yeah, I guess you have a bike and you'll probably finish, but and then other people, you know, I saw some guy came past me on the bike and he was dressed for the Tour de France and he had like the big disc in the back of his wheel.
Yeah.
He had the super aerodynamic helmet and I was like, bro, you're back here with me. Like, I don't know. Maybe you've overdone it.
I mean, I've said it before, but every single sport I've ever done, there's always been that person at the gym or you know, on the team, on the field, whatever, that I would nickname like Stuff. Because there's always the person who has like the best cleats, the best shin guards, the coolest ball, you know, like the backpack, like all the swag, but like maybe there's something to be left to be desired with like the actual ability,
right? Yeah.
Once it comes to like the you know, once the whistle blows, it's like, how good are you?
Yeah.
With the fancy shin guards, but yeah, I feel like there's inevitably going to be the person who's like, well, I'll be faster as long as it's a good helmet.
Yeah. So, in any case, the bike I thought went great. Like I at no point during the bike was I like did I feel like I was struggling.
Okay, that's
in
good.
Any way. You know, I don't know. Was I flying or anything? Maybe not. Like, could I have pressed it harder? I don't know. But I felt good on the bike the whole time. And made it back to the transition for T2, you know, transition two. That's nice. The lingo.
Look at you go.
Starting to learn some of it. And that transition's way faster because all you got to do is change your shoes and like put your bike up.
Right.
And boy, but I got off the bike. And I didn't like feel like super exhausted or anything, but I started to like make my way towards the run out area, as it were. And my first like 20 steps, I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot, like, I'm not going to, like, I can't even walk right now.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden, like you've been sitting on that bike and doing that motion. And I don't know if you've ever gotten a bike and immediately tried to run, but it feels so weird. And I was like, I am screwed if this doesn't like loosen up, you know, fast. But thankfully it did. I kind of felt like, okay, I just got to get moving. I got to get like out of bike mode and into like running mode here. And I did get there, so that was good. But man, the run was hard for sure. Like at that point, I was definitely like really getting, my body was just tired.
I mean, the run was the one you prepared for arguably like the least.
I mean, absolutely the least. Yeah. I mean, yeah, fair to say. I went on zero training runs. So.
Okay, yes. Whereas like at least you'd have like the Peloton mountain biking.
Yeah.
At least a training ride on the road bike.
Yeah.
Then the swimming, you were obviously in the pool multiple times a week. So you were really
over
that one.
It was a great lesson in like training in a thing makes a difference.
Who
you know?
Knew?
What do you know? I was like, where'd you feel the best? In the pool. It's like, yeah, because I went on three swims a week for 12 weeks. So.
Right, yes.
Yeah. So there's that. But not only that, obviously it's the third event, so you're already the most tired when you start it. But then the whole first mile was uphill. And that was, ugh, it hurt. It hurt. Absolutely. I was like, I'm not, but... The weird part was, and this reminded me a lot of like when we were hiking Linville Gorge, was I was getting to the point where I was like, I was running and I wasn't out of breath. I wasn't like, oh my God, I can't take another step. I'm absolutely dying. But my muscles were just like, we're too tired. Like it was such a weird feeling. And I can only ever remember feeling that on the Linville Gorge hike where like the joints in like my knees started to just feel so bad from the hike. And I was like, that was even different too. Cause it was like, my muscles are fine. I'm not out of breath. I just can't walk because it hurts.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely. And that reminded me a lot when you were describing this right after you finished. And it was like, I was like, oh, that's exactly how the marathon was. Like,
yeah.
I got to like my last 6 miles, you know, and you hit mile 20 and you're like, from like an easy, like you're like, oh, like, you know, 20 out of 26, like you're most of the way there. But like 6 miles after you've run 20 miles is a crap load of miles.
It's so many more to go.
And that was the point, like where like, yeah, like my knees felt terrible. Like, and I could breathe just fine. I could talk, I could hold a conversation. It was just like every step just hurts. Like
yeah.
My legs are not strong enough or my preparation was not sufficient
right.
for what I'm putting them
yeah.
through.
Yeah. And that was exactly my problem is that, yeah, the preparation running wise was just not sufficient
yeah.
for where I was in the race because yeah, like I think all the swimming gave me really good like cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
So yeah, the breathing fine. I wasn't out of breath. I just couldn't make my legs do what they needed to do.
Just keep going. Just
didn't have like the muscles developed down there for like a, you know, a 3 mile run.
Right.
But I will say about at a mile two, I ran, like there was a guy who would like stop for a second to like cheer on his daughter who had just passed him on the bike. And then when he turned around, he like almost cut me off and I was like, oh, so sorry about that. But then we ended up just chatting for like most of the second mile. And that ended up being so helpful.
Yes.
Because it was like having someone to talk to gave me a way to like forget I was running and I was able to just like keep at a nice pace for like a full mile. And at that point he got to like the point where he was like, okay, like I'm going to, you know, try and kick it in for the final mile or whatever here.
Yeah.
And that was totally fine. So he just took off. And then I was, then as soon as he was gone though, I was like, oh, it's starting to get hard again. What do you know?
It's amazing how even the smallest distraction can like hold, you know, can kind of keep some of those like circular thoughts at bay.
Cause yes.
I mean, I remember thinking that all the time, like in back in the cross country days where you're like, oh my God, I'm dying. I'm not even at mile two yet.
Right.
You know? And it's like, there's gonna be like a whole other mile after that one.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, oh, what if I don't make it?
Yeah.
Okay. But so then to ask the $1 million question, you get through the whole thing. You did amazing. Yep. I was so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that like I got to see little bits of it
yeah.
in action, a little bit of each part of the
right.
process. Would you do it again?
I think I would definitely do it again. Yeah. It was fun. Like I do think I want to keep swimming for
yeah.
sure. You know, like I've been going and I feel like that was a really like fun and different kind of fitness. And it's like you can, I don't know, it felt like I obviously got better at it. And I would hate to like lose it now too.
Yeah. Well, it also seemed just like as an outside observer, like it seemed like it was bringing you like some new confidence as well.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know how much that was like, you know, obvious inside of your brain, but you seemed like energized.
Yeah. Well, I remember cause the first few times I went, I would just do like, I would do my down and back and then I would like rest for like 30 seconds, which is a really long time to have a rest in any given swim workout.
Sure.
But I was still just getting back into it. And then we watched that movie, like The Young Woman in the Sea.
Yeah.
Or whatever, where the girl swims, yeah, with Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley, yeah.
Where she swims across the English Channel and it takes her like 14 hours. And she swims like 50 miles or something. And I was like, okay. If she can swim for 14 hours, certainly I can make it down and back for more than two lengths of the pool.
Right.
And
right.
then I just went out and just did it. And it was like, oh, not only can I not do it for more than two, I can do it for like 30. You right. know, I've been really building up my base way longer than I needed to, but it worked out. And then I could just keep doing that. And that just felt good. So that was nice. I would probably want to get in. I think I would definitely have another approach in terms of getting more bike rides in and going on more runs because just doing either of those a little bit more, I think would have paid huge dividends in the actual race.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that would even just like, you know, the general familiarity, like, or like I've been doing, you know, like the Pelotons a lot at night, like in like my basement. And I think it's been really fascinating to me to see like the ways in which like my outputs keep like increasing, but like, it almost, I think, is because like at times it'll be like, all right, guys, kick it up a gear. And it's like, I know I can do it. Like, and I just keep like, because it's such a low pressure environment, I keep forcing myself to like go just like a little bit more.
Exactly.
Like, and you're like, oh, you did have it in you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you didn't have it in you like 3 nights ago. And I can't imagine that you've increased like your, you know, VO2 max that much.
Right.
Since Saturday.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, yeah, you're putting out bigger numbers. So it's
sometimes
like,
what you're really increasing is your confidence more than anything.
Exactly. You're learning more about yourself,
yeah.
learning more about your limits. Yeah. So I think that's really cool. So then like even butting up against your like limits, it's fascinating just to find them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what it looks like.
Right. Cause then you can really start, you know, can I push them a little further? Can I extend my limits anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say just, yeah, again, as an onlooker, it was like there was a very something very contagious about the environment.
Ugh, it's always like, so does that mean it made you want to do one?
It definitely did.
Yeah.
I mean, even the swim, which is like the number one thing. Like, I think we were in New York City with mom, dad, Beth, and Alice, and we're spending like all this time together, and we were like, in one of the Uber rides going somewhere, and we were talking about swim team from when we were kids, because I want to say like it's because like Luke was doing like basketball practice or something.
Yeah.
Like that. And maybe you had suggested something to the tune of like, he'll be glad he did it later, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was talking about like swim team or whatever, and I think Beth was like, well, are you glad you did it? And I was like, not really.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't think that the character that I feel like that I've been able to like build these foundational blocks of like my own fitness confidence, my own endurance confidence, like whatever. Like, swim team has never been one of those things that I think had like a net positive on like my total outcome.
Yeah.
However, the thing I would compare it to was like skiing. Like,
yeah.
Like growing up, like I would have so much anxiety about it, like going snowboarding. I know I've talked about that in the past, like the cold, the being alone, the brutal sensation of falling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to strangers on the ski lift the whole day. Like I felt like not in love with the process. But then as a college student, I went and sought it out for myself.
Yeah.
Like at some point in time, I was like, I want to be good at this. Like,
yeah.
But I want it for me. And when I did that, it like changed everything.
Well, I feel like that's what it was with swimming. Cause it was always, I remember going to the practices, and even when I did it in high school, it was very hard all of the time.
Right.
And I think because all the swimming I ever did in any kind of like practice setting, there was never a time when you just go to the pool and you're like, let me just swim some laps for fun.
Right.
It's always just in the practice setting. It's always hard.
Yeah.
But this was more like, I'm just going at my own pace and I'm doing it for me so I can do this other race. And I think that made such a huge difference. And, getting in the water and just having all of the background swimming experience, then that's when all that really paid off. Because I know there are plenty of adults who, they've been to pools and they had fun growing up going to the pool, but have never done like swimming,
right,
like swimming,
yes,
freestyle, or, they've watched people do it and they can get in the water and like, make the motions, but there's so much to like the technique and how you like move through the water and the tiny rules of like, how to use the pool and how many hands touch the wall. And then that's just freestyle, let alone backstroke or breaststroke or butterfly, which, I'm not doing butterfly out there. But even like, it was crazy when I was watching the elite people enter the water, there was a few people who entered the water and we're doing butterfly maybe for the first like 10 strokes or something.
Oh, interesting. Like,
yeah.
Just kind of get like a head of steam.
Yeah, maybe just get like a head of steam. Maybe it's like really fast to like break out or something,
okay,
but obviously not like sustainable. So just like get a head start and then swim regular.
Oof.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, I hate butterfly stroke. Like, can't do it. Yeah. It's just not there.
So hard to know. I mean, I haven't even tried it since I've gotten back in the pool, but maybe it'd be okay. Who's to say?
Right.
I don't know. But I did breaststroke and freestyle. Those both worked. I've done no backstroke either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so anyway, yeah. But I mean, it would be a lot of fun to like see if we can't find another one. Maybe we could train together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. That was my triathlon experience.
Hey, well, so speaking of transition. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. I remember back in ye olden days of old, if ye wanted to peddle your goods, you had to load up the wagon and trade a satchel of peaches to the millers down the road yonder to borrow Betsy and drag your wares into the town to conduct business. 'Twas the year 2005. And then came Shopify, and then just 12 short years later after that, a pair of young Super Carlin brothers found themselves on the cutting edge of something new. Coffee. Okay, coffee isn't that new, but it was for us at the time, and we needed the place to sell. How do you even build a website, take payments, calculate shipping, and track sales? It's too much to wrap your head around while also trying to refine your product and design your packaging. But fortunately, Shopify came to our rescue. In no time, we were off to the races, not just with a website and a cash register, but with a business partner. Shopify refines data to make better informed decisions and is like a marketing department all in one. They can help you easily create email and social media campaigns just like that. Y'all, turn your business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Go to shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. One last time, shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Summer's almost here, you guys, and Mint Mobile has a sizzling hot take. So forget the summer bod. It's time to work on your savings bod. Yeah, that is right. This season, we're talking skimpy wireless bills. Racy, right? And forget about biceps. We're talking swole wallets this summer with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. You can bulk up your bank account without breaking a sweat or the bank. So here's the thing. We covet a collectible, and sometimes price is an indicator of quality. But when we switched to Mint Mobile, I noticed exactly what you want to notice when it comes to a wireless plan, which is nothing. It just works. So say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. This year, you can skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Upfront payment of $45 for a 3-month 5-gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
When was the last time you refreshed your bedding? Sleep cooler with Avocado's naturally breathable, certified organic sheets. Choose from GOTS certified organic cotton, linen, or hemp. All made safe certified to the highest standards of non-toxic safety, delivering the ultimate in luxury, sustainability, and style. And a deeper, more restorative sleep. Join Avocado's mission to be one of the world's most sustainable brands at avocadomattress.com.
Well, under Wicks of the Peak, you have the truck.
The truck?
Question mark, exclamation point.
Man, it's interesting that it's like what you zeroed in on, because I actually have like a different like big chunk of things that like I'm like kind of curious about to talk about today. And I think the two could maybe fit together a little bit. So maybe I can like merge thoughts and topics here. But there was like a strange thought process that I think I was having, maybe even in part because of like your triathlon, and I promise it'll come to my truck.
So okay.
It'll make sense why these two things are connected. But it's any kind of like fitness, for lack of a better word, like fad that either you or me may engage in throughout the years. Like anybody who's been listening to the pop back since 2019, you've probably seen us go through the trials and tribulations of, you know, weightlifting, powerlifting, mountain biking, marathon training,
yeah, hiking,
hiking the beer mile,
you rock know, climbing,
rock climbing, yeah, your triathlon. Like, you know, there's been so many different activities, but it's like, When you put together the medley, it's kind of like a salad of activities where you've kind of got like very distinct ingredients, all of which are kind of been like folded into this like one bowl.
Yeah.
You know? But like it reminded me of this idea or this thing that like occasionally like I think I'll do, where it's like when can you like rest on your laurels? And I guess what I mean by that is like, when it comes to fitness, just as one example, like I think I could, like I did 75 hard at some point in time. It was almost like I put like a huge surge of effort into being like very fit, very healthy, very disciplined for this 2.5 month span of time. And like as much as I saw like physical improvement in my body and like, you know, like I dropped pounds and like, you know, you could like physically see like muscles growing. Like there's all these like, you know, net positives from all of that effort. But all of that effort requires the ongoing discipline.
Right.
And it's like there's this piece of me that's sort of like, I would love the day when I wasn't having to enact discipline.
Yeah.
Because discipline by its very nature is like pushing yourself to drive harder, to like maintain a degree of intensity, responsibility, commitment,
right,
to the practice. And like in my mind, I feel like this idea of resting on your laurels is sort of like, I have established really good routines. I have established really good behaviors and habits, and now I can rest on my laurels. I have set myself up for a healthy life. But it's like, that's never the case. Like, I feel like I am always, like when I am doing my healthiest behaviors, it is always being driven by a form, an underlying sentiment of like, gotta do this, gotta keep exercising, gotta keep working out. Like,
right.
It's never just like a methodical.
It's never become like habitual.
Yes. Like, right. Like just the next thing. It's like each time I have to like summon something to do it. And I'll hit better routines, worse routines, you know, like where I'm more committed, less committed, and whatever. But like this is something that I think is so very appealing about like the idea of retirement is there are so few aspects in life where you are building and building and building and building and building and building and building until eventually you don't have to anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's the allure of retirement is it's sort of like your laurels are everything you're planting now.
Right.
You know, so it's like the years of whether it's just, you know, contributing through your paychecks to an eventual Social Security check or, you know, contributing to like a Roth or a 401k, a simple IRA, or making your own individual investments, or just, you know, stuffing some cash into like, you know, an envelope under your mattress or whatever, like whatever your version of it may be, you're trying to set up for some period where you don't have to continue to go and like fight and strive for this thing anymore.
Right.
And so let me see here if I've got the okay. So yeah. So then I think if you take some of those practices, because I was trying to figure out like what the best sentiment for it is, but when you're going through life, I think that like there's a novelty of change. Okay. So a novelty of change is going to be like especially apparent in, I feel like for many people, the years maybe like roughly plus or minus age 20 to like maybe roughly plus or minus age 30 range. But like this is going to be like where you are potentially graduating high school, potentially entering college, potentially graduating college, meeting a life partner, getting engaged, getting your first job, getting married, having a child. Like you're doing those like these big momentous occasion-y type of things.
Right. Like big otherwise life milestones.
Yes. Yes. And I think that like the novelty of change is it's kind of addictive. And maybe even this is a little bit of like a, like I'm as of May, the month of May, I'm 3 full years off of social media, but I think maybe it's something I realized that like I was chasing a little bit at times was like, what's the next big milestone? What's the next big trip? What's the next big purchase? Like, what's the next announcement post that I can be making that like will be like momentous,
right?
You know, like it'll have magnitude. It'll like attract attention due to the perceived singularity of the thing.
Right.
And so like, I'm trying to make sure I get like all my thoughts properly like formulated.
Okay.
Together, but like, okay. So to bring it back to the truck, now it's like, I feel like I'm constantly having to enact discipline. So going back to like the exercise thing, to not continue to chase the next new thing.
Okay.
Does that sort of make sense? Like,
yeah,
it's like, no matter how many like responsible decisions I make, the realization that at one point in my life, I was chasing the novelty of change. It's almost like now I'm actively resisting my impulse to pursue the novelty of change.
Ah, I see.
So it's like the idea of like, you know, my truck, I think, is a great example of this because I bought it back in like early 2017 when I was still doing like more aquarium related jobs and stuff. Like,
yeah.
There was more things I needed like a big vehicle for. And then it worked out well because it sort of paired nicely like with the, you know, the ambition to have other toys and boats and RVs and stuff like that. But since then, the Super Carlin Brothers venture has really like taken up so much more of my time and attention that I'm not spending all day every day in my vehicle the way that I used to be.
Right.
So in my early 20s, I was driving like 30 to 35,000 miles a year, which is a little more than double what the typical like American average might be. So I was spending a lot of time on my vehicles. I was racking up 100,000 mile vehicles in, you
like
know,
no time.
Yeah. Like just like a few years. Now I've had my truck for, you know, what, like 8 years, and it has like 60,000 miles on it, which is just like very low.
I know. I think when I, like my Juke back in those days, I'd had it for so long and it was still like under 50,000 miles.
Yes.
Because mostly it drove from my house to work and back. And it,
yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I live like 4 miles from the office.
So right.
It's like on any given week, I'm putting like, you know, 40 miles on my car.
Right.
You know, unless I like drive across town to visit Alice at her job or something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, like I'm not throwing down tons of miles.
Exactly.
And so the end result is that I've kind of got this like more used than usual car with relatively low miles. And there's like this impulse to be like, you know, it's been paid off for several years now. And it's like, man, like I could go get like a new car, you know, like it would be like such a fun new thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it feels like one of those momentous occasions, you know, it feels like the Instagram post of got a new car.
Right.
Like, and like when people see that, they're like, hey, good for you. Congrats. Like, you know, there's all of that, like that sensation wrapped up in that accomplishment or perceived accomplishment or whatever. But the real accomplishment for me right now is every month I go by where I'm not spending money.
Yeah.
On where a you're just car like, payment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know that feeling very much. It's so interesting to hear you describe it as like, you know, like you're like chasing down these like novelty of change things. Cause I don't feel like I personally had like a, like that kind of relationship with those things.
Yeah.
You know, I
would agree. I don't think you have this particular trait.
Yeah. So it's much. Like, it's to me, it's always felt like those are just like much more like pet, like those are, you know, they're big things, but they're like, they like passively will happen in their time.
Yes.
And when they happen, it'll be a big deal, but I'm not like trying to like chase it down. It's just like when it's ready, it's ready.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I see what you're saying. And I think that's probably the healthier perspective.
Okay.
On the whole. I feel like I have seen sometimes before, and like maybe the behavior makes more sense now that I've kind of had this, I've looked back on it, like seeing the behavior in myself, but sometimes I do think like, you know, like you'll witness certain things that people are doing, like, where it almost feels like they're attempting to pull this back into focus. Like they're trying to have the next new shiny thing, the next new announcement-y type thing, even though most of like the major big ones are kind of like parked behind them.
Right.
I mean, on some level people are like, Ben, you're describing like a midlife crisis, like the classic, you know, early 40s dad who goes out and buys a sports car because, you know, you want that that hit.
Right.
You want that sensation. You want that feeling. You want the fun thing that, like, it was too irresponsible to get it when I had, like, young children, but now they're not so young anymore, and I've got a better paying job and more stable finances.
As you're saying that, I'm like, I'm starting to less think that's, like, a midlife crisis and more just, like, I'm in a position in life where I can, like, finally do it.
I think there's some condescension definitely associated with the sentiment of a midlife crisis, because it almost seems like you're flailing, aren't you? You bought that new sports car because you're not doing good.
It's like, no, it's because when I was 20, I would have made the same decision. I just couldn't.
Yes, right. Yes, exactly. So then here's where I'm at, is that my truck is something I love, though. Like, it's a vehicle that, like, does everything I need it to do. It's incredibly capable. Like, every time I get to do one of my truck things with it, I'm always like, ha, 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 this is the best. Camping or pulling the boat or anything like that. Or even just holding a lot of people, because it is a surprisingly spacious vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, one of the things I've been running into lately, because the vehicle's getting slightly older, is that, like, all my bulbs in the front of the vehicle just keep dying, like, in weird orders. So right now I have, like, one daytime bulb out and one headlight out on different sides, and I'm, like, driving down the street, I just look like a mismatched Christmas tree or mm-hmm. something, you know? It's like everything about this is, like, wonky and weird. So I like purchased like LED headlight conversion kits, I can, like, take my existing headlights out and put these, like, new ones in that are gonna be, like, much brighter. And them just, like, arriving in the mail, like, I just, like, pulled them out of the box. They're just, like, parts.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just like, oh, I love this.
Excellent.
You know? And it's like there's a piece of me that's like, I want to do more of this.
Right.
I like this feeling.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, what part of it is, like, that just is that just a hobby? Are you chasing the high? Is it practical? Like, you know, like, what is driving my behavior in this situation? And is it just flat out irresponsible? Should I continue to practice my like hard fought discipline on not needlessly spending money on a, you know, safari looking cargo rack that I'm not safarying
here, right?
In,
yeah.
In suburban Roanoke, Virginia.
Yeah. Like, I mean, at some point it can just be, you know, a hobby, and that's fine to have as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
If your hobby is just, like, you know, tricking out your truck, then, like, so be it. Even if you're not doing anything, you know, tricky with your truck, you know?
Right. Right. Yes. Well, and so I guess that's the question, though, is that it's like, because it feels irresponsible. I can convince myself it's irresponsible. It's like the subwoofers I talked about, like, how many years ago now?
Yeah.
It's like, that I still have not put in there. It's like I get it. It's just this, like, this frivolous decision that I don't need to make.
It feels irresponsible because you want it.
Yes.
That's what it is.
But so it's like, am I always fighting a battle that I will eventually lose? Because it's like, you really want to do these things. And it's like, you could hold off and you can resist for literally years on end, but at some point you're going to cave.
Well, but, like, you know, at the same rate, like, you bought the boat, you know, why did that, what was different about buying a boat than putting in subwoofers in your car?
But I think it's because the boat can provide happiness to lots of people. Like, the utility is it goes so far beyond just singularly me.
Uh-huh.
It's like, this is like a way to, like, you know.
So it doesn't feel as, like, selfish.
It doesn't feel as selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see. Yes. I see.
So it's a justification.
I understand what you mean. I think there's something about it must be environmental in some way, that we both have if I'm doing it for other people, better. If I'm doing it just for me, I don't know about that. I'm not really worth it. Okay.
Right. Yeah. That, I mean, that's exactly it. It's like you can't just do something because it'll make you happy. And it's because I'm like, am I just chasing the thing? I think I've talked about this before too, because I think that, like, and I don't think this is the case for everybody, but I think it just was for me with social media, was that, like when people talk about what life with addiction feels like, it's like, you never kind of stop wanting it. You've just gotten good at not like enabling it or whatever. And sometimes it's like sometimes I will like literally have like what I can only describe as like jonesing to be like back on social media for the purposes of like getting those bits of feedback.
Right.
You know, like it's like, oh man. Ooh. But then I remember what it was like when I had it and it was like, nothing ever felt like good.
Nothing ever felt good enough. Like, yeah. I mean, this is definitely a part of your personality. You've definitely for a long time had that, like, if I can just buy that one more big thing, that'll make me happy.
Yeah.
Or if I like this one thing changes, if I can like shed this one person from my life, or if I can make this one, this will be the thing that turns, you know, and then there's always the next thing.
There's always that's what I mean by like the resting on the laurels thing too, is that it's sort of like I can look over like the track record of the last 10 years of my life and see so many very significant stages of growth, like as an individual, so many like major wins that I've done, so many moments like where I had to make like have like a hard conversation for what would ultimately become a better version of like my day-to-day life. Like I can see that like these things have all contributed to what is like a better me today than it was 10 years ago.
Right.
And all the associated life lessons and then like the new boundaries that I'm able to make because like I don't enter into like the same traps.
Right.
That maybe I have in the past as well. But yeah, it's like at what point do you stop chasing like the next piece of like improvement or why is there like a need for another piece of improvement? Like, is it making sense how all these things link together?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if I 100% have an answer other than it is, you know, I think this is a lot of what I had to accept in therapy was that spending time, you know, on yourself or for yourself is, it feels selfish, but ultimately is better for everyone in your life too.
Right.
You know, like when I just bought the rototiller a couple like last month or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much just for me, you know, so I can go out there and do my gardening and stuff. Like, sure, people like, you know, I'll grow the food and, you know, maybe we'll get to have a few homegrown cucumbers and tomatoes and stuff like that. And it'll be fun and all that. But at the end of the day, like I'm not even necessarily doing it for the harvesting. You know, I just like going out there and doing it and setting it up and watching it grow. And then that's like the big bonus at the end. You know, it's like your trophy. Look what I did. Look what I grew.
Yes, exactly.
You know, but it's, you know, I enjoy being out there and being in the dirt and pulling the weeds and all that and stuff. And I think, it was hard to justify before like spending that much money on a piece of machinery when it felt like you're only doing it for you and it's a lot of money. And it's like, you know, do you have the money? It's like, yes, I could have done it at any time, you know, but the only reason I wasn't was because I felt bad about doing it because the ultimate purchase is just for me to enjoy myself.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if you are in a more mentally like healthy space, because you're allowing yourself to enjoy the person you are, then you are like happier and more like helpful to the rest of your family as well. Because chances are that if you're not giving yourself those kinds of times, then you are frustrated about things that no one can see or put a label on, possibly even yourself, you know, because there are plenty of times where, you know, I'll have been thinking all week, like on Saturday morning, I want to go out and work on the garden. And it has been something I've tried to focus on more lately, like saying it earlier in the week, like here on Saturday, this is what I want to do.
Right.
And then it'll get to be Saturday and, you know, it'll be 11 o'clock and I'll still be sitting inside and people are figuring out the day and Beth will be like, you look like you're bothered about something. You look like frustrated. And I'm like, every second that I'm not doing the thing I wanted to do is making me upset because like it feels obvious to me. And I made it clear that that's what I care about. And even though you're talking about other important things and we're making plans or whatever, it's like, those things are stopping me from doing the thing I want to do. And really, that's all I'm thinking about.
I think it's very well said. It's very like very self-aware too.
Yeah.
Cause I think you're exactly right. Like it's, I think a lot about that like Zygarnik effect of like these like tabs that are open that like, you know, it's like you want to go and like explore it. You want to go and do the thing, like go and be involved in that. And until you can close it, it's standing in the way of literally everything else. It's like,
right.
It's like a queue. It's like, I can look past the priority. It's like a line standing in front of you. I can look past my own priority number one down to priorities like 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. But like, I'm having to look around the thing in front,
right?
The thing that like is most pressing to me right now.
Right.
And so that means that like, I'm not going to be able to give my full attention to 2, 3, 4, 5 until I do number one.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So anyway, but I think that's the thing is that I'm like, man, like I've been so excited to be able to like carve out like a couple of hours to go and put like my new headlights in. Like I'm like, oh, it's gonna be so great.
Yeah, right.
Like I've been so frustrated with my headlights for so long. These are gonna be so much brighter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's such a silly little upgrade. But like it's like just the fact that I still have it like left to do is almost like knowing in third grade that you have a pizza party on Friday. It's like, oh, but on Friday there's a pizza party.
Pizza party.
Yeah. And it's like, that's going to be awesome. You know, it's like nothing but good times.
Nothing but good times. Yeah. When realistically we look back, it was like 15 minutes at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. But it's like, and so that's exactly what it's going to be. It's like, I'm going to go and have like an hour and a half of having so much fun doing it. And then I'll acclimate to the newness of them. And then they'll just be part of my vehicle. And then I won't ever think about it again.
Yep.
You know, and it'll be like, oh, all right. Well, yeah. At least I've got it now.
Yeah, at least you got it.
At least I can see at night.
Yeah. Functional.
Functional.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of which, Ben, I know I talked for a while about like cleaning my garage and having it like all nice and organized and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's still working out great. However, it's like the garage finds a way, you know, as it were.
Like it wants to be a mess.
It's not even the mess. It's not even the mess. Like that feels pretty organized and pretty contained. But in the meantime, like this this past weekend, I don't know if I've told you about my fridge, or maybe you've heard it.
I've heard your fridge before.
You can probably hear it from here.
In fact, if let's not speak for a second. I think I hear it.
Yeah, I think you can hear it. It's so loud. I hate it so much. Like, and it's just so, and sometimes it'll be quiet and it won't make any sounds, and then it'll click back on and there's just this terrible rumbling sound. Ugh, it is breaking my brain. Like part of me wants to get a new fridge for the kitchen so that I can move the kitchen fridge out to the garage and move the garage fridge out to the dump. But part of me is like, screw that. You know what? The kitchen fridge isn't even that bad. I don't even care about the kitchen fridge. I'm going to go on Facebook Marketplace and pick up a free fridge from somebody somewhere in the world today and just switch it, you know, because it's that bad. But then so the fridge has become a much bigger problem sound wise.
Okay.
Not a thing you think you have to think about a fridge. Yeah. Then at the same time, I had like one of my light bulbs out there was doing just like the horror movie flickering all of a sudden. I was like, oh, this is a creepy place like this. And then I have no idea how this happened. There's like a single, I don't know if you know how garage door openers work, but like basically there's just like a rack and a chain and this one lever that just pulls your garage door backwards.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
It's connected. All of that is connected by one weirdly shaped metal hook thing.
Okay.
Hitch. It's got four screws in it. Well, all four of them are just ripped out of the door through regular use, and now the garage door doesn't work.
So you went through and you made all these improvements, and then the garage was like, no. I can still find ways to make you angry.
I can make it. You know what? It looks better in here. I'll give you that. But how about the fridge sucks, the lights suck, and the door sucks? How about that, Jonathan? I was like, oh,
you use your full
name.
Oh,
wow. Garage, you are. Oh. So I changed the light bulb, but I might get off this podcast and go look at fridges because it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, it seems like a really good task.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean the true curiosity, because this happens too, like with home renovations. Like we did like our kitchen and then like the rest of the house all of a sudden looked like crap. And you're sort of like, well, this is so pretty and beautiful, and like everything's so thought out and like up to date. And then this looks terrible.
Yeah.
Popcorn ceilings. No.
No.
But like I'm partially curious if any of these problems like existed before, but you couldn't hear or see them through the noise that was the rest of it.
I mean, the garage door worked.
Okay.
You know, so, and the lights were, I mean, I'd fix the light. That's just a light bulb. That was really easy. Yeah. Although, of course, the first round of light bulbs I put in there, they were like the white light bulbs. And now the new one I replaced it with just more like the orange glow. So now it's just mismatched light bulbs. Okay. I know. I'm like, the other one, part of me is like, should I just switch the other one out to orange too? Because then they'll match. But then I've just like wasted a light bulb. But how expensive are light bulbs? And then you go to order them and you're like, more expensive than you'd like.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe. But 18 months from now, you're going to be like, heck yeah, I got bulbs.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I know. And then I've only got one left. I'm like, I'll save that for something else. I don't know, whatever. I guess I could just save the other white one for somewhere else. Doesn't really matter.
You know what? So what I think, I mean, I don't know any way that we would continue the pop with it. Not just being the same exact thing, but I feel like we jokingly came up with the name PG-30 for a new podcast. And it's like, you shouldn't listen to this if you're under the age of 30.
Yeah.
And it's things like changing light bulbs and fixing headlights and yes. noisy refrigerators.
PG-30. You won't get it unless you're 30. Like, don't, you know, parental guidance, you're going to need that because you're not there yet.
You need to bring a 30-year-old to help explain what's going on.
PG-30. Yeah.
It's not inappropriate. It's just old.
That's what this podcast is rated, PG-30.
That's right. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Pop. Hopefully we found a way to entertain you through all of our various antics. As per always, if you have any feedback, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, until next time,
bye! Pop, pop. Wow, messed that up.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.